Get ready. You're about to enter the Renzo Republic.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to the one, the only Remso Republic podcast, broadcasting to you from the one and only Commonwealth of Virginia, coast to coast, every other day that we can make this happen. Welcome to the show. I'm Remso W. Martinez, and in case I am a little HD right now, I didn't mention earlier because it's one of those days where everything's just a little bit hectic and I just want to double tap everything. You are listening to the Remso Republic. Welcome old and new listeners alike. I'll go ahead and say it for the millionth time already. We've got one objective here at the Remso Republic. We're trying to make freedom fun again. But it's really hard to do that when the fake news and everything else is just mucking up the waters, making everyone go crazy. Congressmen are body slamming reporters. Trump's getting two scoops of ice cream. Elizabeth Warren is now leading an Indian, Mohican, Jamaican, Navajo, whatever tribe, and she's going to run for president. We don't know what bathroom to go in. These are very interesting times. It's hard to make things like this fun. It's easy to jump on the bandwagon. I could just go ahead and regurgitate to you everything you've probably heard on the radio or on TV. 20 million different ways to Sunday, but I got to give you something to give you a reason to live. And if there's one thing in life that makes me wake up every day, it's this. There's such a thing as Wednesday, and Wednesday is Free Comic Book Day, and it gives me the will to live. That's right, folks. One of the things I love more than politics is getting up on Wednesdays, going to my local comic book shop, and getting my stack from the cashier's desk, and going home and just binge reading like never before. Everyone needs a hobby, and I've got some advice for people whose, you know, sole purpose in life. You go on their Facebook page, and it's nothing but political banners and political posts. It's this: if politics is your life, that's not a life worth living. You need a hobby. And for me, I've been collecting for years. If you've been listening to the show, you know that I always try and bring on as many independent artists, writers, everything as possible. And if you're on, you know, kind of like the inside baseball news, you know that me and Johnny Adams from the Johnny Rocket Launchpad are pushing out the Liberty Force comic along with some other great liberty-minded content creators sponsoring that. These are great times to be alive. But the great thing about this is that I can bring you something even better. I want to go ahead and introduce our guest. If you're like me, he basically wrote your childhood, both the heroes and the villains. If you're a comic book nerd, he probably needs no introduction. But ladies and gentlemen, I want to bring on our guest tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, I present to you Chuck Dixon. Chuck, welcome to the Remso Republic.
Oh, very good to be here. Very good to talk to everybody.
So I'm a little bit more hyped than usual. I'm fanboying out right now. You created Bane. You wrote some of my favorite comic book runs ever. And for the most part, I'd like to thank you in helping save America by turning Clinton Cash into a graphic novel. I don't know how big of giant balls you needed to go up against the Clinton machine, but just helping out with that itself, you helped save America. So thank you for that.
Well, I'm glad she lost. Oh, my sleep gosh. Nights.
It's crazy. You know, back in 2004, I don't know if you remember this, she tried to ban video games. And I just knew that if she was able to ban video games, she was going to go ahead and ban comic books eventually. It's just a giant slippery slope, which kind of leads me to my first question. Then we'll just kind of let things go from here. Who do you think is a scarier villain, Hillary Clinton or Bane?
Oh, Hillary. Bane doesn't want to run everybody's life. You know, Bane's not a micromanagement kind of guy. You know, Hillary is all for that intrusive government where they get involved in every aspect of your life. You know, Bane just wants his piece of the pie.
Yeah. And I mean,
and he's honest about what he is.
Exactly. As you kind of look at the news, as you kind of see everything that's going on in our political climate, I'm just curious from like a writer's standpoint, when you were creating Bane, and you know, this is back in the 90s, did you ever look on TV and say, wow, that politician or that person right there, that person would make a scarier villain than the one I'm trying to create?
Oh, yeah. I mean, everything, you know, 90s was all Clinton, and everything about the Clintons was frightening. You know, the sort of Arkansas mafia background, you know, they were a slippery bunch. You know, but, you know, you had slippery bunches on both sides of the aisle. I probably hated Trent Lott as much as I hated the Clintons. He's just a lying son of a bitch. You know, he was no kind of Republican. You know, he only ran as a Republican in the district he was in because he couldn't win as a Democrat. You know, so, yeah, there was a lot of villainy in the 90s to go around. But thank God, you know, the Republicans took over Congress and reined some of it in, some of the madness.
Exactly. So just to kind of, you know, rewind a little bit, you're known mostly for your run at DC and everything else you've done since. You've had some, you know, independently published graphic novels coming out. It's one thing when you hear about conservatives in Hollywood, because there are only like a handful of them. But when you look at the comic book industry, and, you know, I don't want to name names, but I'm going to name one person because I think he's the devil. You know, recently I stopped reading most Marvel comics because I think that Nick Spencer is destroying everything. And then when you look at what Alan Moore did several years ago, he went ahead and had, you know, like Occupy Comics, which is funny because the people who are anti-capitalists were using capitalism to fund their anti-capitalist campaign. You don't see it often, but whenever you do typically have a conservative jump out in a primarily progressive industry, actually, no, I'm going to stop right there. From what it looks like, because this is something that not a lot of people jump into, is the comic book industry sway one way or another? Is it more liberal or more conservative?
It's far left. It sways far left. And there are a lot of conservatives who work in comics, but they have to hide their beliefs, you know, in order to keep their job. You know, and I was like, you know, what the hell? We don't live in Nazi Germany. I can say what I want. And, you know, I suffered the consequences, but the hell with it. I did okay. I survived. You know, I'm still writing. I'm still making money. I still have a career. They couldn't crush me. But, you know, a lot of other people I can understand aren't willing to step into the light and say, you know, I believe this. So, you know, their silence, you know, allows this kind of nonsense to go on, this kind of social justice warrior crap and, you know, left-wing agenda, you know, to continue. It's much worse in comics than it is, particularly the big two, than it is in Hollywood. Because Hollywood will still make conservative themed movies. They won't say they're conservative themed, but, you know, at the heart of them they are. But, you know, the big two, it's a liberal agenda. There's absolutely no denying
it. Exactly. And that's the thing that really bothers me, because, you know, like I love Captain America. When you look at Jack Kirby, who really helped reinvent the character, I mean, Jack Kirby was an objectivist. I mean, he voted Republican typically. He wrote very conservative characters and very conservative themed stories. And you see that with, like, you know, the Golden Age writers, as they're dealing with, you know, the Nazis, and then they're fighting the commies. And now it seems to be getting even worse. And in terms of just, you know, the general market, a lot of the stories I'm seeing from the big two, as you mentioned, I mean, they're highly progressive. So I'm just curious, you know, obviously your graphic novel adaptation of Clinton Cash was a wide success. What type of backlash did you get from that? Because, you know, 2016, that's just like, you know, the crazy ex-girlfriend most Americans don't want to talk about. What was your reception like upon publishing that?
Well, it you know, that's the thing. I mean, these guys are all, you know, warriors on Facebook and warriors on the internet, but nobody ever came up to me at a convention and condemned me for doing it, because, you know, they don't have the cojones to do that. You know, and the thing is, my bridges are burnt. I mean, everybody knows who I am. You know, I was worried about the guys who came along with me on this ride, you know, and I think I can't speak for them, but I think they've suffered some backlash from this, that, you know, they're definitely on a red list somewhere where they're not, you know, they're not going to get work, because the Trump hatred, I mean, I don't think anybody saw this coming. I certainly didn't see it. Wouldn't have stopped me from working on the book, but I had no idea the depth of hatred that these people continue. They're like a nuclear cauldron of rage every single day. It's not abating. It's not slowing down. It's only getting worse. And yeah, I mean, this is the worst time in the world to be a conservative in comics, as far as career wise. At the big two, again, the independents, it's a different thing. They don't give a crap. The independents, if you sell comics, you know, you can believe whatever you want. You know, but again, you know, Clinton Cash is one of the rare times when my politics were in the work, because let's face it, it's a political work. When I worked on superheroes, my politics were invisible.
Exactly. Sir, we're going to keep this conversation going, but first we're going to go ahead and hit our first commercial break. Folks, you're listening to the Remsa Republic with the one and only legend himself, Chuck Dixon. Hang on tight, and we'll be back in a moment.
Let's make freedom fun again.
Take the show on the go by subscribing to the Remsa Republic on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play, and YouTube. Don't be left out.
Hey everyone, the Johnny Rocket Launchpad is Liberty. Each week we strive to bring you the best guests in talk radio. The Johnny Rocket Launchpad delivers weekly interviews of noteworthy politicians, experts, and activists. The Johnny Rocket Launchpad is bringing the party to the Libertarian Party and launching ideas in your direction. Check us out at johnnyrocketlaunchpad.com. You can hear me, Kurt Nelson, and the beautiful Heather Nixon talk about the ideas of liberty. Rock and roll.
Make sure to visit libertarianwingmedia.com, where you can find articles written by libertarians all over the world on all of today's issues. Check out our podcast network with monthly and weekly podcasts. Check out our libertarian t-shirt store with t-shirts like Make Markets Free Again and Make Markets Not War. And you too can become an author at Libertarian Wing Media and write what you want, when you want. Just email alexmerced@alexmerced.com. Thank you very much.
Folks, welcome back to the program. We're continuing our conversation from earlier. Sir, we've kind of talked about the Trump derangement syndrome, the backlash that, conservative writers and content creators are facing. And when it comes to what we're facing right now is kind of like a culture, it's really strange because obviously, politically, the Republicans control the government. But in terms of the culture war we're still seeing, the left is still being the left. They didn't stop being the left. They only doubled down on being left. When it comes to comics specifically, when it comes to anything media or entertainment related, we're seeing, a massive silencing. USA tried to pull their commercials from Hannity, and within a week they put them back on because you saw a conservative backlash. You had that Tim Allen show, Last Man Standing, on that got pulled out of nowhere because it was their, I think it was their third highest rated show. In comic books, I know you mentioned that more of the independent publishers, it doesn't necessarily matter as much. But when you look at how kind of like where pop culture and everything is taking us, do you think that we're going to see more of a resurgence in, conservative themed entertainment? Or do you think that the left is going to double down on silencing?
Well, they're going to double down on silencing talent and any kind of overt conservative message. But if you look at like most action adventure films, things like that, they're based on conservative principles of courage and self-reliance and everything else. Whenever the liberals try to roll out a left-wing agenda movie or television show, they generally fall flat on their faces because that kind of entertainment is dull, and preachy. And they don't get anywhere with that. You look at the you look at the box office, what's going on, especially at the end of the year, the top 10 films. There's very rarely, I can't think of the last one, where there's a movie on there that had a overt liberal agenda, because audiences reject that. And I don't think they reject it based on politics. They reject it based on the entertainment value. That crap's dull. Who wants to sit through it? The same thing as if you made a right-wing Screed movie, that would be boring as well. But look at a television show like Walking Dead. What's liberal about that show? There's nothing. There's no liberal agenda to that show. It's about survival and self-reliance and doing the hard stuff you have to do to protect yourself. These people make, hard decisions on that show. And, I don't see a liberal agenda at all. And I don't see liberal agenda in a lot of Hollywood's output, but when, Tim Allen goes to the Trump inaugural, they're going to find a way to cancel his show.
Definitely. Now, I kind of want to focus a little bit more on this, but I want to nerd out for a second. at the Remsa Republic between seasons, because we're a seasonal podcast, we put out a video series called Fanboys and Freedom, where we look at, you know, really popular comics, TV shows, movies, and we kind of talk about the political and philosophical theme. So, folks, you can go on our YouTube channel and see Volume 1. By the time you listen to this, Volume 2 will be out, so definitely check that out. But during Volume 1, we actually went ahead and examined The Dark Knight Rises. And in that, we talked about populism, we talked about anarchy, we talked about, A Tale of Two Cities. And during this election, it was really strange. I remember seeing online people were, lampooning Trump's inauguration speech, and they put in the part in The Dark Knight Rises where Bane is like, I did this for you, the people. And when you look at kind of his message in the film, he kind of mimics that of Bernie Sanders, who was a giant socialist populist. And you see that a little bit with Trump, you know, during campaign mode. He's not that way these days explicitly, but he was like that during the campaign. So I'm just curious, as Bane's creator, did you ever see him being adapted in that way? Do you think it was a natural way for him to go, and that's the right thing that people are kind of, you know, correlating around now? Or do you think it's a distortion of the character?
Oh, it was the distortion of the character. I mean, you know, the phrase that Trump used is used by politicians all the time, that kind of phrasing. It's not, I mean, that's where they got it for Bane, you know, because it sounded like a political speech. It was a political speech. So they use, you know, boilerplate political rhetoric. So, you know, you're really reaching for it. I remember when Romney was running, they tried to say that Bane was created as some sort of allegory to Bain Capital, which was ridiculous because he was created, you know, more than a decade before. But Dark Knight Rises, you know, while it's the best interpretation on film of Bane so far, it's not representative of the comic character. Bane's not running for office. He's not trying to sway the masses. He's trying to control them from behind the scenes through Underworld, but, you know, he's not running for office.
Gotcha. One question one of the fans of the show wanted me to ask you was this, and I think I can pretty much, I can assume your answer, but I always want to ask it just in case. What this fan went ahead and wanted me to ask was, you know, when it comes to what people are consuming, the entertainment they're taking, she explicitly asked, do you think that comic book writers have any type of, I don't know, an obligation to go ahead and speak out on social justice issues? Because for many people, they're like, yeah, I'm glad that Bane looks like an Occupy Wall Street character. Yeah, I'm glad that in the Captain America comics, Captain America is now black and he's fighting racist white supremacists at the Mexican border while going to a gay pride parade. What's your take on that? Because obviously you've used the medium of comics to go ahead and, you know, discuss your political agenda to an extent. Do you think that's the overall obligation, or do you think that's just something that each writer needs to come to and determine themselves?
Well, I don't like to think that a writer has any obligations, you know, except to his own work. But beyond that, the only real obligation in mainstream comics with superheroes, you know, you got people running around in their underwear, you know, in masks and boots and capes. This is escapist entertainment. It's not agenda entertainment. I mean, when I write Bane or Punisher or, you know, whatever character, G.I. Joe, I'm not trying to put my political view in there. I think that's wrong. I'm just trying to go for universal escapist entertainment. That anybody can pick this thing up, forget their troubles for 15 minutes to 30 minutes and just have an adventure, have fun reading this thing. And, I put in suspense and humor and action and all the rest of it. And to me, politics has no place in it. I never tried to inject politics into any of my, you know, entertainment work. It's Clinton Cash and Forgotten Man were exceptions because they were about politics, obviously. But, you know, I used to write Batman. Batman's like guns, and I'm a gun owner. I'm an NRA member way back. But, you know, I would write impassioned speeches about why Batman was against guns, you know, because that was part of his character. To me, that wasn't political. That was character. So, yeah, you're not under obligation, you know, to present your views or try to change the world through stories about people who can fly.
Definitely. So we're going to go ahead and wrap up the show. But first, we got to go ahead and hit our final commercial breaks to pay the bill around here, folks. Hang on tight. We'll be back in a moment.
Hey, it's Jen Gray with the Leading Liberty Podcast, and you're listening to Remso Republic.
Visit RemsoRepublic.com for all available content.
Hey guys, Tim Preuss here, and I wanted to take a minute and invite you to stop over to PreussPodcast.com and give our show a listen. We've got in-depth commentary on the issues that matter to you.
These hookers. Fucking whores are out there.
These hookers, man, I tell you.
Yeah, that's like the most contact I've had with the hooker.
It's them yelling at you.
Them yelling at me at Twitter.
We break down the most pressing issues of our time.
This large lady with, like, tight clothing on. Not appropriately linked tight clothing either.
And we get the most intelligent analysis from friends of ours like Jeffrey Tucker.
You pulled over engine trouble and what happened? What happened? I don't know.
Seriously though, we love putting on a show that both entertains and educates. We're growing and we'd be thrilled if you joined us. Check out PreussPodcast.com for more. That's PreussPodcast.com.
Make sure to subscribe to all the podcasts on the Libertarian Wing Media Podcast Network on Google Play, iTunes, and Stitcher, such as the Alex Merced cast, with interesting interviews with interesting people every week. Breaking Progressives, spending time every week breaking down left-wing narratives and showing what's real and what's fake. Economics Why Not, a weekly look at economics and applying economic principles to daily life. Better Today, a weekly podcast where we take a look on ways to improve your life and be better today. Libertarian Commons is a podcast where we play audio from the video archives of Alex Merced from his videos dating back to 2008. Liberty Public Access, a podcast where anyone can submit an episode. Submit your episodes to Alex Merced at alexmerced.com. Have you been wanting to start your own podcast? Then subscribe to Podcasts and Logging Tips and Tricks, a weekly podcast about how to host your podcast, how to produce your podcast, and how to market your podcast. We'll be adding some monthly podcasts to the lineup soon, including Make Markets Free Again, a monthly look at what's going on in markets and regulation all over the world, and the Free VST podcast, looking at free VST instruments for electronic music producers. Listen to these podcasts by going to LibertarianWingMedia.com or subscribing on iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play. And if you enjoy the podcast, tell your friends and leave a positive review on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play.
Are you looking for a podcast that represents life, liberty, and the free movement of ideas? Well, look no further. The Classical Liberal Podcast is here for free speech and the latest in American politics. Come tune in for liberty with Alex Shaw at theclassicalliberal.weebly.com. That's classicalliberal.weebly.com.
Hey, welcome back to our final segment. We're going to go ahead and wrap things up, but first I want to go ahead and just kind of, you know, tie up loose ends, let things go where they go, and it comes to this. You brought up that you know, you were one of the writers for G.I. Joe. Your run on G.I. Joe was the only run of the series that I've ever actually liked, and I'm saying that as a fan. I'm being openly honest. I did not like them when they were at Marvel. I hated what was going on in the mid-2000s when they did, like, G.I. Joe Reloaded. They bastardized it. I think you revived it. So as a G.I. Joe fan, I thank you. But, you know, when you tear back the political meanings and things, the greatest thing I loved about your run on G.I. Joe explicitly was that it reminded me a lot of, you know, Jack Kirby, in a sense. His characters, because he was coming at it from an objectivist lens, they really focused on the individual. They really focused on, you know, how one person can influence others around him, and how ultimately it's not that, you know, a team just succeeds because they're working as a team. A team succeeds because it's individuals using their talents and, you know, sacrificing for each other to get the job done. And I think your G.I. Joe run really showed that. So I'm just curious, in terms of just, you know, focusing on the individual, do you think that's lacking in comics, or do you think that's something that even progressives come about with? Because you look at what Marvel did with, like, Young Avengers a few years ago, and they basically just had a, you know, alphabet soup of social justice characters, but they were all emphasizing the individual characters and how they all complemented each other and stuff like that. Do you think that's something that will continue in comics, even if they are, you know, becoming a little bit more left-leaning? Or do you think that the more progressive they become, the more that individualist message is going to disappear?
Well, even in ensemble books, that the theme of individualism and how each individual contributes to the team and contributes to their victory or defeat, that's just part of the superhero, you know, group trope. You know, that's just, you know, that was always emphasized when I worked at Marvel and would work on ensemble books. It's always emphasized that everybody has to show why they're a part of the group in every issue, you know, why they're a value. So, yeah, that's just part of the superhero genre for the most part.
Awesome. So, sir, to kind of wrap things up, are you optimistic for the future of the comic book industry in terms of, you know, just not just succeeding? Because it's one thing to make money. It's another thing to actually put out things that the fans like. And for the most part, what we're seeing of Marvel's sales is when they go on these giant social justice tangents, they're failing. So do you think that conservatives in the industry are going to be able to succeed? Or do you think that overall things are going in a negative direction?
No, things will have to turn around. I mean, DC is turning around with Rebirth. Their sales are strong again. They've returned to basically the classic format and not so much an emphasis on politics. And a return to the craft, the return of just putting out good, solid, entertaining comics that you can understand, you know, the stories that make sense. I don't know what the hell is going on in Marvel. In addition to the stories being all left-leaning, they're also just poorly done.
Yeah, I mean, if they do another giant, you know, cross-title reboot, I'm probably going to, like, cancel every subscription I have because it's getting outright stupid. And this is just me bitching as a fan, but how many different times can they retcon a story? How many different times do they have to constantly do a giant industry universe-shattering event? It's just, like, What's the point behind that? Is it just to get sales to go up, or is it to actually do something? Because as of right now, they've been doing this, you know, Marvel has been doing this at least once a year since 2007, and it's just turning into absolute shit. It's not even a story anymore. It's just, oh, let's kill this person and bring this person back and let's screw that up. I don't get it.
Well, the law of diminishing returns is taking over because, I mean, but Marvel's been building up this Secret Empire stunt for the longest time. And once they rolled it out, DC still dominated the market that month with just regular titles. The DC really didn't have a big event. They wrapped everything around that month, but they killed them last month and the month previous. So their big thing didn't work out to be so big and didn't get them new readers. Like, they chased readers away, and every time you chase readers away, a certain percentage of them aren't going to come back ever. So, you know, they've got to – apparently they're returning with this Marvel legacy, you know, back to the drawing board to get it right again. Let's so just hope they stick with it for a few years.
Do you think the only way Marvel's going to, like, really understand what the fans want is if – you know, they kind of repeat what happens in the 90s and the industry, and, you know, just Marvel kind of tanks?
Yeah, well, they've already tanked.
No, I mean, like, dead, like, you know, burn the fields down and maybe something, you know, new will come up from that.
Some massive personnel rearrangements wouldn't help, you know, to get some new people, because, you know, every time these companies go back to the drawing board, it's with the same gang that failed the last 16 times. So, you know, it's like, how many more ideas do these guys have, you know, when they didn't really have that many ideas to begin with? So, yeah, I mean, and turning the company over to a bunch of, you know, well-meaning social justice warriors who really aren't all that talented was not really that fantastic an idea.
Gotcha. Well, anyway, sir, we've got to wrap up the program. If anyone wants to check out everything you've done, follow you on social media and all that jazz, how could they do so?
Follow me on Facebook. There's also chuckdixon.net, or just go on Amazon and type in my name. My bibliography is right there.
Awesome. Sir, thank you so much for coming on the program. It's been an absolute blast having you on.
Thanks so much for having me. I enjoyed it.
Folks, I'm going to let you go early and not give you my usual closer, but here's the thing. When you come at it from any type of lens, and I was having this conversation with Johnny Adams, you know, we were working on the Liberty Force comic book, and we were like, you know, is this going to be explicitly libertarian, Johnny, or is this going to just be a good story that could be in and of itself good? Well, when he was writing it, he wanted it to just be a good story and put everything else on afterwards. So if you wanted to come at it from a libertarian's perspective, there you go. But if you want to read it just as a good sci-fi action comic, it's good for that. Art can be good for art's sake, and other things can be used to put out the message you want. But ultimately, what we're seeing is what the left is doing is what they do best. They're doubling down on being the left, and they're losing. But you know who's winning? It's us on Team Republic. Go ahead and follow me on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Play. Subscribe there. Don't forget to leave us a rating and review. And tune in next time, folks. As always, be good to your neighbor. Treat yourself. And I'll see you next time. I'm Mr. W. Martinez, America. Good night.
Stay connected to Liberty's Rabble Rouser on Facebook and Twitter to stay up to date with the latest episodes, blogs, and other available content. What are you waiting for?